What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the show. You know, y'all are here for me every week, getting me through these times, and I just wanted y'all to know that I'm here for y'all in whatever way you need. Please feel free to reach out on the social media, through email. Get in touch with me. I'm here for y'all. Know that none of us are going through this alone. Also, I just created a Patreon, so if y'all would like to subscribe to the Patreon, please do. I would love the support. Thank you so much. This is The Art of Letting Go.
Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today, I have a special guest in the building, somebody that I have continuously went against on the basketball court. And it seems like now, more than ever, like we've been doing a lot more work together and like getting to know each other more. So you mind introducing yourself to the people?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. My name is Julian Michael. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I am a stand-up comedian. I have a special on Prime Video called Insert Token. And there's a lot of layers to why it's called that. I think it says a lot about who I am. At one point in my life, I was on my way to being a Southern Baptist minister. And then I realized how funny I am and how gay I am. And I kind of took a left turn. And I've been just living in the aftermath of that for the last 10, 15 years. So that's a little bit about who I am. I'm an educator. I'm a writer. I do a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So I know you're a comedian. So was that serious that you were thinking about being a minister?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Wow. My degree's in religion. I've worked in multiple churches in my life on the praise and worship team. Mostly I've been in the pulpit. I've laid hands on people and spoken in tongues and done all of that. And really, wow. Really thought that's what my life was destined to be about.
Man. And it's funny because I was going to talk to you today about your experience just in the world as a gay Black man, but I guess that's a great place to start because, man, how was that for you? Like being on that journey and being gay?
So I think, you know, in with the beauty of hindsight, there's a lot of my, gayness was just sort of put just kind of as an afterthought. I was so focused on this path, you know, it was kind of instilled in me. I felt called from an early age, and there were definitely signs that I was gay, but I didn't put all those dots together until really sometime in college. And even then I was still in denial. So like, I went to an all-boys Catholic school. I was the manager of the water polo team, and I was still in the closet, like just doing shit like that. I was so focused on just, like, this is my path, this is what it is. I had a girlfriend all through college, even while still just like dipping out and going to pride parties just on the low, and just like living this real double life. And honestly, it just got taxing. I moved to New York City from Virginia. I was working in Virginia after college at a prep school. And I was also on staff at a Baptist church down there. And once I moved to New York, I reconnected with a friend of mine from college, and we went to a gay club, and I just like, I felt home, you know? I felt like, these are my people. This $11 tequila shot was the truth. Like, this is what it was supposed to be. And I honestly, like, I never looked back. I haven't stepped foot in a church except for a funeral since then. And it just like there was no like falling out. There was no like, dramatic moment. I never went back. It didn't make sense anymore. And it was very shortly thereafter in New York that I started doing stand-up comedy, and that just kind of replaced that spot in my life, that time, and it still gave me an avenue, pulpit, really, to talk to people.
Man, that's the truth. Do you still feel connected to spirituality?
That's a hard question. I feel like religion in America in particular, maybe not in particular, but Western religion is a scam and a lie meant to perpetrate a system of white supremacy and colonial interest. And at the same time, I can't help but feel connected to other human beings and to just sort of energy and power that's greater than myself, that's outside of myself, that I can't explain, quite frankly. So I'm not so narcissistic as to think that I have all the answers.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, like when I'm feeling lost or particularly sad or whatever, I will sing gospel and I even realize that I'm singing it and find just peace in the music, in those vibrations. And so I think there's something about that collective and connected energy that draws people together, that sense of intention that is shared. You might call it prayer, you might call it whatever. I think there's something to that that's worth acknowledging and respecting for sure.
That's what's up, man. And kind of going back to like being in denial, like I really connect with you on that because, you know, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I definitely lived a lot of my life like in denial of being gay just because I had attached gayness to mannerism and not to actual sex. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, I'm attracted to guys. Yes, I'm, you know, secretly hooking up with guys, but I'm not thinking that's what makes me gay. I'm thinking, you know, the way I hold my wrist or the way I present myself in public is what the gayness is. So it was very confusing. I think I didn't really understand it till I moved to LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and what was interesting is that the flip side of that same trap is that for there to be a right way to be gay, there has to be a right way to be straight. And there's so many people who are just like trapped in this mindset of machismo, of emotional prisons, because they don't want to appear like something they aren't. You're gay because of who you're attracted to. You're gay because of who you choose to have sex with. And however else you express yourself, however else I express myself, that's me. And that's outside of the bedroom. But we want to put these labels and hierarchies and sort of purity tests on everything.
Yeah.
And it's very self-destructive.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think that is something that I'm trying to, I guess, break and bring some unity to, because just thinking of the idea of a man or what a man is, it's like it's not dictated by your sexuality or, you know, anything other than for me to be a man is just how you carry yourself in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not even about what's between your legs. It really is about an attitude, a mindset, and a self-identity. And you can choose to make that as narrow or as broad as you want to make it. But it's just a lot easier to let it be broad, you know?
Yeah.
You do some shit that doesn't fit into this narrative, and it's like, whoa. You know, I'm a pretty sort of masculine guy, whatever, but like, let a good drag queen come on the stage, I'll lose my fucking mind. Like, I have a split. My toenails are painted right now. They almost always are. You know?
That's what's up.
It's like little things like that they make me happy. I don't care. You know? I think being a comedian has helped with this because I'm in so many spaces all the time where like I'm the only gay person and quite possibly the only black person around. And I have to come out at the 8:30 show and the 10 o'clock show. So I'm so comfortable now, just like, this is me, this is what you're gonna get, this is who it is. And if it doesn't fit a box, then like, change the box.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's dope. Do you feel like you represent your gayness and your blackness in your art?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, like, I obviously can't hide being black.
Right.
But I don't think I'm what people expect when they think of a black comic. So when I come out just speaking my particular way of speaking and just like talking about a cappella and all this kind of shit, it catches people a little bit off guard. When I did my album, I didn't do a gay joke until like 18 or 19 minutes into the hour. Wow. Just like lured people in and then just like super casually dropped it and then went about talking about my husband and just like all this stuff and just like laid it all out. Which I think was a choice about trying to just lure people in and make them forget about what they might expect, not sort of think of me as a gay comic, and then get hit with this material that hopefully they can relate to, even though they may or may not identify sexually in the same way that I do.
Yeah.
And now it's like that material is out there. So just like, depending on how much time I have, I might just start super gay. I honestly don't care. Like, I've been feeling more black than gay, if that makes sense, because I feel like we've been oppressed a lot lately. So a lot of my energy has been on being vocally, aggressively black, not at the expense of being gay, but just like, this is where I feel like I need to hit people over the head. But the fact that I am gay and that I can sort of pass as straight, whatever that's worth, I think there's a different group of people who listen to my message who might not listen to it if I was more flamboyant.
Right.
So it kind of cuts both ways.
Yeah. How has that affected your comedy, making that shift of, I guess, directing more to blackness?
You know, it's relatively new, and the world is for live entertainers, it's garbage right now. So we'll have to see. I see it affecting a lot of what I'm writing, a lot of the virtual shows that I'm doing. Honestly, I feel like I'm being received better. People always value authenticity, and then people who don't like it, they kind of fall away. And I'm at a point in my life where I would rather you have a strong reaction to me one way or another than to be like, no, it's okay. So if I come out and this is too much for you, it's too black, it's too on point, it's too whatever, that's great. That's great. Just please don't leave a review on my Prime Video page. Like, so far, it's all I got to keep the average up.
That's hilarious. Man, kind of shifting though, how has COVID been affecting the comedy?
COVID is, it's a motherfucker. It is just taken, it's taken live art off the map for a lot of people, you know. I'm grateful to have a day job I can do from home. I'm grateful to be working on some writing projects and things like that that don't require me to be on stage, but it's definitely an itch that I miss scratching as much as I used to scratch, and virtual shows are not the same. I got a lot of friends who have lost thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, who were going from headlining in clubs and theaters to driving Postmates. Wow. So like I see that a lot just in my social feed and my groups. But at the same time, they're also creating some new shit, some edgy shit, and just like responding to this moment. So I don't know how our country is gonna respond to where we are. I know that we'll continue to need live entertainers and creators and content producers to speak to the moment, and to just keep us moving forward. But it's hard. It's hard right now. And, you know, as much as our business is making fun of unfunny shit and finding humor in tragedy, it's a lot. It's a lot for a lot of people right now to try to pluck something out of this.
Absolutely. What advice would you give to a creative that's navigating this time right now?
Get your skills up, get your creative juices going, but also like protect your mental health. You know, there's a pressure, I think, right now to be like, okay, you need to write every day. You need to just like dive in all the time because now's the time. Now's the time. And that's true to an extent. But if you're not with it here, if you're not in a good place to just like know that your needs are met, know that your family's needs are met, it's hard to do that. It's hard to give people what they actually need from you. So I think really first is like assess where you are just mentally, but also push yourself to create. And I think beyond that, like think about things other than COVID-19 specifically. Like once the world opens up, nobody's going to be trying to hear your Corona jokes. Nobody's right. going to be trying to hear your Corona rap. You know what I mean? Like there are so many other things that need your time and attention. Especially creators of color. Like we're almost obligated to use our creative energy right now to try to fix the world, which is bullshit, but it's the reality. So
yeah.
Yeah. We need to fortify our minds to be able to fight that fight and also really think about like what other avenues do we have to get paid? Like can you tutor? Can you teach someone? Can you write something for someone? What else can you do to just keep the lights on and keep your mental health strong right now?
Man, that's so important. And, you know, just kind of thinking about the world, like once it goes back to quote unquote normal, it's like, where do we go from here? You know, I think about that in not only health-wise, but even in like, you know, with the race, you know, situation that we have going on, like how do we interact with each other in the world with normality and not even necessarily saying like black and white people, but how do black people interact with each other? Like, will we now see a connection between heterosexual black people and queer black people, or is it still going to be a divide, or how do we even break that divide?
Yeah, no, it's hard. The simple answer is that we're fighting black versus white right now.
Right.
That's not the fight. That's not the actual fight that we're having. We're having a fight about, do you see people as they want to be seen, or don't you? Period, the end. And so there are some people who are not being seen because of their skin color. At the same time, they're actively not seeing other people because of their sexual identity. And those people are gonna get caught in the crosshairs because we're not having a one-dimensional fight right now.
Right.
So my whole thing is what can you do to help see someone who is different from you, right? What can you do to make someone else visible? And if you think about it, unless you are a poor trans person of color, like there's at least one group below you on the totem pole right now, just in terms of how society. There's one person at least who you actively know just on the basis of their existence is being shit on harder than you. So in the same way that you want people to acknowledge you, and I was speaking to myself because, you know, I guess as a straight passing middle class black man, like I'm doing okay, but I haven't used my own voice. I haven't used my own power to empower other people to the extent that I should. And I haven't also demanded to the extent that I should to be seen exactly as I am. So I'm fighting up and down. Yeah. So to the heterosexual black people among us who think that queer people of color should sort of wait to have that fight later, that's a message I can't get behind. And those are people who the most they can be are pawns in this game, in this chess game of equality that we're playing. Sacrifice for something larger when we get to that point. So It's a real tricky thing right now, and I hope that people's eyes are open. It's not about police violence, like it is, but it isn't. But police are the lowest people on the food chain of a prison system that's built to screw us anyway. So until we really start moving up this system in that way, there's always something to fight. So
yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back to what you were saying, like, I feel you because, you know, I can't control racism. You know what I'm saying? But like a black person treating me a certain way because of how I am, like that's more important to me than a white person, mm-hmm. like trying to force a white person to understand me or be empathetic. If I can't get somebody that look like me to do it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. 100%. Yeah. No, we have to do better. We can't, as black people, it's unfortunate. We don't really get a moment to sit back and just like congratulate ourselves on being victims that are being seen right now. Because we have to turn that lens inward and see how are we victimizing ourselves. You know, in the patriarchy does not get upheld by just men. White supremacy does not get upheld by just white people. So while, yeah, there are systems that need demolishing, and white people have more than enough work to do on themselves, like zero passes. But we can't celebrate punishing them for having work to do, because we have our own work to do to undo the venom that they help plant within us, you know? Because if it's not an issue of gay versus straight, it's an issue of light skin versus dark skin. It's an issue of African-American versus West Indian. It goes on so many levels. We decide who is closer to the real thing. And there's no real thing. That's like saying who has the right accent, right? Like, it's just, this is where you're from. It's how you right. talk. So we're ascribing to this standard that doesn't actually exist. And in the meantime, we're cannibalizing ourselves, trying to be the first ones to get there, to get to where? To nothing. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that we have to do. And I just hope that people are that their eyes are open and that they're prepared to be in it for the long haul. This is not a sprint. This is not gonna be done just because the media runs out of patience for the stories. It's not going to be done because of whatever happens in this upcoming election. This has to change people's lives and actions moving forward for a long time until we actually have that national reckoning about who we are, what it means to be here.
Man, I got one more question for you. I appreciate you sharing that too. Yes, sir. Before I ask that, what does life look like for you once we get through, I guess, because we're still in quarantine. Like, people are acting like we're not, but we're still in quarantine. What does life
people acting so bad, we got to do it again. We got to put back on timeout.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But what does life look like for you, yeah, after this?
I think about that all the time. I do. Honestly, like, I'm a little bored with just straight up stand-up comedy. I don't feel like it gives me a chance to fully express the scope of my creativity and kind of what I want to say to people. So I've been actively just like writing stories, writing music. A lot of people don't know music is actually my first love. And it's time to get back. So I'm really working on just like building my own content base and also just confidence to fully embrace just the full like spectrum of my creativity. So I expect to do a lot more spoken word. I expect to put out content in a lot of different ways. I don't think that the comedy club model as we knew it is coming back anytime soon. So just this idea of new types of venues, new types of media, those kind of things, I'm really trying to be close to the forefront on. I don't want to be a TikTok star. That's not the lane. So
I feel
I'm thinking less about social media and more about connecting socially with people who are like-minded and just trying to put out some just real shit, some dope shit, and in a lot of different ways. So that's what I think life is like now. And once this is over, hopefully I'll be ready for that moment.
That's what's up. And man, my last question is, what is one piece of advice or one lesson that you gained on your journey that you can share with listeners?
One piece of advice gained on my journey. This is it seems obvious, but it's actually not. Everything that you think about the people who are more famous than you, more talented, more successful, however, whatever industry, it doesn't matter. Everything that you think about how they got there, everything you've been told about that, is at best a partial truth. There's no separation on a real level between the most talented people and the people who don't make it in terms of ability. There's a separation in terms of work ethic. There's a separation in terms of luck. There's a separation in terms of timing and in terms of persistence. And so by spending time on identifying what you love to do and just doing that thing and refusing to quit, you put yourself in a much better position to actually be successful at it. There's no such thing as an overnight celebrity. And even more so now in 2020 than 50 years ago. Like, there's so many opportunities to put your own shit out that the only thing that's really stopping you is doing it. So don't expect there to be a shortcut between where your level is now and the level that you want to be. Just embrace the step that you're in and be consistent in that step. And if you do that, and if you're lucky, then you will get to that level of mastery that you thought was just a God-given thing or an overnight thing that actually wasn't. Because that's what that person is doing. While you were looking at them, they were practicing. They were learning some shit. They were continuing to fortify their skills. So that's a lesson that I have to tell myself over and over again. You know, when I see people who are just like, oh, he has this on Netflix, whatever. And it's so easy to just be like, why not me? And if you just continue to work, continue to build those skills, when you get your moment, you'll be undeniable. And that's the best I got. It's not sexy.
That was perfect. Shit, I needed that myself. Man, where can the people find you?
So my Instagram is Taken by Token. And my website is doubleminorityreport.com. that's got all my writing and all kinds of bullshit on there. It's also around housing, new YouTube series that I'm starting called Black on Black, of which of course you're a guest. I'm gonna drop that soon. Please check out Insert Token on Prime Video. It's also on Spotify and SiriusXM. watch it on Prime. And if you like it, leave a 5-star rating. If you don't tell me about that shit.
Man, I appreciate you so much for coming through. Like, I really appreciate
you. Brother. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to this podcast and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think as well. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on all social media at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Also, you can send me an email, theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave a message. We might play it on the show. 213-394-2773. Also, if you would like to support The Art of Letting Go, we got some really cool merch, as well as we're now on Patreon. You can find us, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.